Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A very warm welcome once again to my podcast, Iftar for Soul, episode 12. That means we're going to talk about today the 12th episode, 12th revolution. And the weather is quite pleasant today. And it's a weekend, it's a Saturday, and it's quite slow here, for me at least. And they are going from today, they have officially started the curfew at night. So after 10 p.m., we're not allowed to be outside in Berlin. So I just hope that all of you are safe. If the condition is getting harder, I just hope and I pray to Allah that He guides us to patience and to stay strong in these difficult times, and that gives us the power to get through all of this. So I'm sending you all my best wishes and prayers. And again, I hope that Allah gives me the right, grants me the right words and vocabulary to get this message across, because this is going to be a... it's the topic of today is very similar to the one yesterday we talked about. And the one before that also, where we were talking about anxiety, depression, criterion of gratification. What can we be thankful about? I think all of this centers around the idea of optimism, and I think this is so relatable in today's times where there is so much negativity around us. Not only because of what's happening in the world, but also the consequences of the pandemic that people are unfortunately going through. And I wanted to... So the surah that I'm going to talk about, it's the 94th surah in the Quran, Ash-Sharh, it's called. And it's some people... Somewhere it's translated as the relief. Other places it's called Al-Inshirah, which means the opening up. I will come to that, why is it called in this manner, but the topic of today's talk is actually hope. It is quite a thought provoking for me that why the last revelations so much has been talked about the same topic. And you know, even yesterday the one of the central ideas was to remain hopeful, to be positive, to keep up the optimistic spirit. And today also the surah, it's a very small surah. It's just I think eight ayah, and it's a very melodious surah, also quite rhythmic. I really like to recite it sometimes. I've picked three ayah out of this. So even this very small surah talks about favors of Allah, and how he talks about what kind of attitude should we have towards difficulties when we find ourselves in difficulties, and how to stay hopeful. And one thing that really struck me today, that you know, this the habit of being hopeful or staying positive, it's something that needs training. It is not something that we can, you know, change overnight. That we say, okay, I've been suffering from depression or sadness or hopelessness, and then from one day to another, we see a change. You know, it's a journey that we go through. There was a beautiful parable given by one of my favorite scholars, Al-Ghazali, and he says that your heart is actually a field. It's a very fertile field. And your thoughts are the seeds that you sow into them. And you may not see the immediate consequences of the seeds, of the thoughts that you put in. But over time, you see when the fruit comes out, if it's an ugly or if it's a sweet or a sour or a bitter fruit. So depending on what we think, you know, depending on how we think our life is going to turn out to be, how the events will turn out to be, it really affects our mindset, our general approach to life, to problems, anxiety or restlessness or lack of patience or feeling weak. And once again, there's nothing wrong with these emotions. I think this is what I find really beautiful in the Quran, that Quran identifies these emotions as very human, and it is okay to have them. However, Allah encourages people to fight against this negativity, and Allah invites to optimism, He invites to hopefulness. So, and this is also something that Prophet Muhammad was facing in his lifetime, because he was facing, imagine a person living for 40 years in a tribe, right? Because tribe is more or less a community. I mean, we really have to think, we need to try to understand this in the perspective of living in a community. I don't know if many people have had that experience, but you know, if you, for example, whenever I go to my village in Pakistan, you know, I really feel the sense of community. Everyone knows everybody. Sometimes people leave their doors open of their homes, so people, your neighbors, can just basically walk in and talk to you, and you know, you have this communal feeling. You don't feel left out alone. People are there to support you. Of course, there's a downside that they also get very nosy. And there's lots of backbiting going on. There's, you know, pros and cons for everything. But I'm not trying to promote that this is the better way of life. I'm just, you know, giving you an idea that there are communities like this. So Prophet Muhammad was living in this community. And, you know, when you live in this kind of atmosphere, you really feel part of the society, and you feel that, okay, you know, you're part of a system, a network of support. And when he started to preach this message, everyone was almost going against him. You know, the followers were very gradual. You know, this was something that people had to tell to their heart, that it's, you know, that they have to listen to a message which goes against the teachings of their ancestors. So he was facing a lot of repulsion and active resistance, that's why. And also, as we learned yesterday in the yesterday's podcast, that there was a pause in the revelation. So he was also having anxiety. Perhaps he failed, and then Allah takes the same message, and the next revelation talks about exactly the same topic again. That I actually also mentioned yesterday in my episode, and I'm going to repeat that. So it is Surah 94, Ayah 5, 6, and 8. So the 5 and 6 are as follows. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا For indeed with hardship will be ease or relief. Indeed, or surely, with that hardship comes more ease. So if you remember from my yesterday's podcast, this is exactly what I mentioned, these two ayah, that Allah is telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in a greater context, he's telling the entire mankind that if there's a difficulty, there is ease, but ease is in plural. So that is what makes it so powerful, this message, that if we only look at that one difficulty that we are facing, we might close our eyes to all the other blessings that this difficulty comes with. For example, I think, you know, I've been through certain phases of my life where, you know, I felt some people leaving my life, some friends, some family, leaving as in not passing away, but our contact discontinued. But it was a very painful and hard moments for me to go through that. But I also realized that I also got rid of some negativity in my life, that they were not bringing me forward in life. They were dragging me down. They were pulling me down. And alhamdulillah that I got rid of those people, because sometimes we do end up in toxic relationships. And relationship, I don't mean a partner like love, but also friendship or even in relationship within the family. And the boundary blurs out somehow. So I don't also want to propagate the idea just for the sake of hope that you torture yourself. And because in another place in Quran, Allah actually, it's a duty upon every person not to do anything that hurts him, that hurts his soul, that is destructive to a person, to the nafs. So Allah even talks about that, that all right, at one place where we are told to be patient, we are told to be hopeful, but we are also told not to let anyone get to us, right? So we need to draw a boundary. And I think it's a beautiful message that still many people struggle with today, but Allah talks about that already 1400 years ago. And I think that's quite a lovely message, you know, where you learn how to draw a line, how to draw a boundary, where you know, okay, this is it, you know, this is it for me. And if people have issues with that, I have issues with that, to be honest. I would not even call it issue. I think it's more, as I was talking in the beginning, you know, it's more like a mindset that we need to learn how to nourish. We need to train ourselves. And because positivity, being positive, being patient, or first, it's not magical. It can happen if we work towards it, but we just need to find the motivation. And you know, this is why I think the message is repeated now in this revelation also, because Allah is also emphasizing that this habit is something that we need to repetitively remind us of, because there's so much negativity around us. Like, I think there are so many negative energies around us, you know. Then this can come from news, this can come from our friends, this can come from our society that we live in, or anything, you know. Information affects us. And I also told that in the beginning of my podcast, that you know, this, you have this waswasa, this evil whispers, Quran calls them, that you are constantly, you have this negative energies around you. So that's why I cannot say that, okay, if I have become an optimist person, that is it for me, and I will be positive. If I'm an optimist person from, I don't know, day X, I will be like that for the rest of my life. No, it's not possible. You know, this is a very utopic, but it's a very unrealistic approach to life, I guess. You know, we will always be bombarded with challenges in life. I think what is important is our approach. What is important is how we deal, our dealing with these situations. This is the problem at hand, you know, how we try to fix it. And this is the mindset that we need to nurture. And the last ayah that I was talking about, the ayah 8, is actually, it's called wa ila rabbika farghab, and to your Lord, turn to your Lord alone with hope. So I'm going to talk a bit from religious perspective at the moment. So why does Allah say, turn to your Lord alone with hope? I mean, hope is something, right? Like, the first question that came to my mind when I read this ayah, where does hope come from, right? Where is the source of all of this? You know, we always say, seek happiness, seek peace. I want inner peace. I want joy. I don't want troubles in my life. So, you know, where is all of this? Where is all of this kept? You know, it's... some people say you have to own your happiness. You have to own your confidence. You have to own everything. You know, you should be your... The biggest competition you should have in your life is yourself. You know, you should try to become the better version of yourself, etc. So I like that the idea centers around you. And I think it's beautiful. But that is from the contemporary mindset. But what Allah is trying to inform a believer, that it is actually, it's me who gives you all of this. No human can give you that. So if we talk religiously, I mean, if you take Allah out of the equation, right? If you take God out of the equation, you will end up exactly in the same teaching that what is prevalent right now, that you need to own yourself, you should not let people decide you or influence your thoughts, you should not let people influence the way you think about yourself, your opinion about yourself, and you know, to be your, let's say, the influencer, so to say. And if I put Allah in the equation, which I do, And it's the same message, but Allah is like, you know, turn to me. Turn to me with hope and I'll give it to you. Don't go around and asking people for hope. Of course, Allah puts people in our lives to process everything, right? We need friends. We need community. We need this network of support. But Allah says that I put these people in your life so that you can find peace with them. But you turn to me and I can give that to you. If you look out in people, then again this discussion we had in the last previous podcast, if you start depending on people, right, not everyone will have a clear heart who will selflessly try to help you, right? So it's I think this is something that, you know, also what I really find interesting is that another religious reference that I'd like to mention is that we all know, you know, we grow up learning, you know, even if it's Christianity or Judaism, we know that Moses spoke to Allah directly and he went to the mountain and he saw a light and then there he was. And, you know, Allah told him to go to Pharaoh and, you know, spread the message of truth. And, you know, the thing is, what's really remarkable there is at that point, you know, like imagine, right, you are talking to the master of the universe, right? You're talking to God, basically. And you could ask for anything at that moment, right? You feel that, like, imagine you are, you know, imagine that you are talking to a person who you completely have faith in. That person could be your mother or anyone. And that person is telling you that I'm there for you, and that person becomes your reality. That person becomes your truth. And you feel so safe in that person's vicinity that if, you know, and the person asks you for, you, and you feel that you can ask this person for anything, right? You feel that you can be yourself around that person. You can ask for company. You can ask for comfort. You can ask for, I don't know, spending time together. So you feel good with that person, right? So when Allah told him to deliver a message to one of the worst or the worst tyrannical ruler of the time, has seen that that's how he's described in Islam, the Pharaoh of that time, Prophet Moses said a very beautiful thing. Like, instead of asking for, I don't know, the nuclear bomb, or I don't know, any kind of soldiers, or it could be the perfect army, right? He asked for a beautiful thing, and then he says that, please expand my chest for me. And make the task easy for me. And I think this is such a powerful prayer, because why my chest, right? Why chest? And if you look at the surah also, Ash-Sharh, the one we are looking at today, it's called, one of the name, it's called Al-Inshirah, the opening up. And the first ayah of the Quran, the first ayah of the surah is Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. O Prophet, have we not opened up your breast for you? So even here, so you know, you go back in time, Prophet Moses is asking him to open my chest, like what was the sentence? Wait, I have to look for it without misquoting anything. Rabbi shrahli sadri. You know, that's exactly what he also said at that point, that open my chest. But why chest? Why breast? Like, why are we talking about this, right? It's because our faith, our belief centers in our heart. You know, this is where it is. And many, we've also heard saying, you know, open your heart, open your mind. We need to be open-minded. We need to be open-hearted. When we talk about generosity, when we talk about kindness, we say that this person has a good heart. We never say this person has a good mind, right? Right? And it's so profound that Allah talks about that also. Like, where he ends the surah with hope, that he starts the surah with the chest. So hope, I think, It's for me, it's quite a powerful message that's been given at the moment, that, you know, hope resides in your heart and you really need to work on your heart. I can recommend a really good book. I'm unfortunately forgetting the name of the author, but I think this is the only book you will find written with this title. It's called Atomic Habits. And he also talks about this, like how how in order to achieve big changes in your life, you always need to start small, baby steps. You know, you go step by step. And it can be a bottom-up approach or it can be top-down approach. Bottom-up is like you work towards up and by taking small steps. You know, you cannot, as I said, you know, hope, positivity, optimism is not something that comes overnight. It's a culture. You know, I think everything has a culture. A country has a culture. The animal kingdom has a culture. You know, you need to also know what your culture is. Right? What is your culture? What is your tradition? I'm not saying that the culture, what you belong to, like your ethnicity, not that culture, but your mind, right? Every company has a culture, a corporate culture, you know, company culture. But what is your culture, right? So to establish a culture, it takes time, it takes energy, you know, it's like rewiring your brain altogether. There's a beautiful TED talk on rewiring your brain where the researcher talks about this, and I think it's a beautiful talk. You all should. I can highly recommend you all to watch it. But you see, we talk about changes without understanding that, yes, these changes are big, and that's why they are also intimidating and overwhelming. But if we start small, we can really get there. But what I mean by top down, this approach, is also that when we see a big problem at hand, sometimes as I said just a few seconds ago, we feel overwhelmed. But if we break this problem down into small pieces, and then we go down from the top, we go down to that problem and try to solve that, we can maybe fix the problem up there. Because I feel that, you know, this talking about, in the Quran, in multiple places, Allah talks about a seed in the heart and, you know, it grows fruit over time. All of this boils down to few things. Like, right, I think most of our problems in our lives are a result of fundamentally two or three or very few problems. Everything else is basically a tree. So if we can fix the root, I know at my work, we have a really wonderful tool we use. It's called 5-Y analysis. It's like when we're looking for a fault in the product, we say, okay, this product failed due to, I don't know, let's say if the label on the product is not there where it's supposed to be. The failure for that was, I don't know, the employee was not aware of it. But then you start questioning, why was not he aware? Because of A, why not? Because of B, why not? Because of C. And then, you know, you go down to the root problem and then you fix that, automatically everything else will be fixed. So, you know, you have this mindset of really, you know, on one hand, you are given an approach of being hopeful, being positive. And on the other hand, you're also told how to flourish that in you. So yeah, I think culture of mind, hope are something that we can learn, you know. And I just wish we were taught this in school, right? We are always taught how to work, how to become a good doctor, a good engineer, or I don't know. I'm happy there are experts out there, like there are psychiatrists out there for this. May Allah bless them, and. I think they're doing a wonderful job because, you know, if your leg is broken, you go to a doctor. And I think if you feel also broken inside, you need to approach a specialist in this. And where spiritual guidance can help a person to remain hopeful, to have something to look forward to, I think these also play a very vital role in our lives, these experts. And I hope may Allah bring us to that one day that we do not consider this a taboo anymore, to talk about mental health, to seek mental health, and to approach these people. But yes, I think regardless, we should also take a moment to get to know ourselves more, to identify ourselves, to identify our culture, and to understand that we need to develop this mindset of looking at problem and keeping it as a problem and not turning it into our lifestyle. I think it's very important to think that way. The problems, nothing comes to stay. Nothing, I think. That's the nature of the life. I think we are temporary also. We are not here to stay forever. Many people have tried that in the past. And the history is a witness. None of them has succeeded, you know. So that's why it's very important to not to make that our lifestyle. We should not make problems, sadness, all of this our lifestyle. One thing we can make our lifestyle is to have this perseverant attitude, to a hopeful and a positive attitude towards looking at life. And with that, I'd like to bring my talk to a conclusion. May Allah help us with clarity. May Allah guide us to the company of people who will bring us up in life rather than bringing us down. May Allah protect us from company of toxic people. And may Allah hopefully guide people to the path where talking about mental health is not a taboo anymore. وآخر الدوام الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.